Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hour number four of our continued draft coverage here on WGR rolls along. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer.
Hey,
DJ TJ on the wheels of steel as we are hurtling towards the end of the 2024 NFL Draft.
DJ TJ Luckman.
Woo! That is a forever drop.
In round five, the Bills did not make their first pick in the fifth round. They traded back. They pick up a fourth round pick in next year's draft. And now we've got just a little while longer here until they pick. They pick at number 160 overall, and we are currently at number 157 with Carolina. They are making the selection. They are in Germany again, Derek. They're in Germany again.
Is this that big of a deal? They played in Germany a couple of years ago.
This is unbelievable.
Wowie. All right. By the way, the Eagles and Browns, get out of my head. They take Jeremiah Trotter and Jamari Thrash in successive picks here right as the Bills are winding down to 160. Oh, by the way, anyone that's still for some stupid reason upset about the Chiefs trade, what happens if the Chiefs take a player at 159 that you really want?
There we
the
go.
Bills go at 160.
There we go.
Can we all shut up now?
No, that's Malik Washington.
Will light up.
That's Malik Washington going right there.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to happen.
That's going to happen, and everyone's going to be up in arms for some strange reason about a fifth rounder.
I do not love the aesthetic of a Carolina Panthers jersey with a guy wearing lederhosen. That is not a good combination.
No, the color's not right.
In the slightest.
The color's not right.
That is not good. Who are they taking?
It's a vast difference there. That is what we've got. All right, he read it off of a pretzel. That's impressive.
He's got a phone or the card right there, too.
Yeah, but he's holding up a pretzel, making it look like he's reading. They should have slapped the card on the back of a pretzel.
Man, this is taking forever. He's been reading for quite a while. Yeah.
There it is. Chow Smith-Wade, cornerback out of Washington State.
Definitely a position the Bills could take.
They still could.
As we continue to roll
Absolutely.
Along here, they have, I can't even say notoriously because that seems negative, but they have kind of famously taken cornerbacks later in the rounds, or later in the draft, excuse me, and have gotten very good quality in a number of secondary players who they've taken in rounds 4, 5, 6, 7, and so on, namely Taron Johnson being one fourth round pick.
So here's what we got for you, by the way,
Christian Benford,
coming into this 3 o'clock hour. The Bills obviously having those two selections at 160 and 163. We will be playing back Ray Davis for you. When we get the audio of these other draft picks, we will be finding our way to throwing them in as well. But also, Zach, you and I would love to go over the drafts you've loved and the drafts that we've hated so far.
Okay.
Not now, obviously, since the Bills are so close to being on the clock here. But, you know, that's something that I do feel interested in. There's been a couple of teams that I've really liked their drafts. There's one team in particular that I hate that I love their draft.
I think we have the same team there. Yeah,
but there's like a couple of still like befuddling ones. And then, no, that's not the Bills, by the way, random caller. No.
It's like, a failure.
Yeah, it's a failure. It's a D. First of all, Ds do have a passing grade. So it's
See,
not a
I
failure.
Think though in college though, I think it's
D's don't get degrees.
I think you got to have at least for most majors at least a C.
D's don't get degrees in college, but it is technically not a failure because that's an F. That's
I mean, they do if you get a small amount of them. Just saying.
That's very true. Actually, that's very very true.
Like if you get one, you're still getting the piece of paper.
Like I'm bad at math, but I can I round it out with being really good at history and then kind of
The saying is C's get degrees.
Yeah.
For your underachievers
out
there.
I had a teacher in high school tell me that, like, as we're getting ready to, like, to graduate, she goes, remember, Zach, C's get degrees. And I'm like, you're an educator.
Absolutely not the person that should be telling me this right now.
No. First of all,
second.
No, that's just someone saying you've done great. Just get enough through here.
Just get through. It was in high school. I was getting ready to go to college.
Yeah, no, that's just you've done.
And she's just like, remember,
that might also
get degrees. And
that also might just be that teacher likes you. They want you to just get through this. They don't want you to be sitting and wasting your summer in summer school.
Maybe they thought you took school a little serious and they were just like, just chill out, bud.
Yeah, no, they saw the bane.
Okay.
They saw the bane popping in your forehead and they're like, guy, relax, calm down.
Senioritis hit me in
Mohammed Kamara. Mo Kamara going right there, Colorado State to Miami. Oh man.
But like, you know what, though? They need to
these
do
last
that.
Three picks have been the,
They have desperately needed to do that because they're not a physically strong enough team to go up against a lot of playoff teams. They're just not. They go up against teams that are around 500 and get blown out.
I mean, they took Chop Robinson in round one. Yeah. They take Mo Kamara here. So it's not even just about a feature thing. It's about getting depth for your pass rush as well. So, no, that's a good pick for Miami. I think that's a really good one. I do hope that we just get these picks going here and cook. Let's get ourselves.
So what do we got? We got the Chiefs
here.
Picking here.
Chiefs
Their pick's
picking,
already in. The selection's already coming up. This
all right, don't get mad about this, guys.
Let's go.
The Chiefs are making a pick. It's a Hall of Famer.
They might have to actually go on offensive line here too. Although, I
hate my life.
Did they do that? I think they did that earlier in this draft. Nope. They went
Hunter Norzad, center from Penn State. Guess what? The Bills got a center first. Take that, Kansas City.
I was going to say, they actually really do need to help out their O-line, in all seriousness. They really do.
They have Creed Humphrey.
That's about it.
They don't need to help out there.
That's about it. Yeah, but they may be.
I mean, centers.
Guard.
I feel like a lot of centers like that shift over to guard or something.
The Bills are going to be picking here as ESPN immediately.
The Bills pick is in. We're cooking. This is the Bills had a guy. They see him.
They knew who's available.
And they were like, oh, cool. He's still here. Let's go. Here's the card. That's how it goes. Behind the scenes, it's just, hey, that guy's here. All right, send it in.
I do wonder who it could be then because I got to imagine then they immediately thought it's fine to wait a good bit of picks to get here. But also, I mean, Nate brought up the Albert Breer tweet from earlier today, which was essentially that many teams believe that there is a steep drop-off after the fifth round, or after the fourth round, I think it was, fourth or fifth round.
Malik Washington and Brendan Rice, in terms of receivers, are guys that are still
there. I'd be fine with either. But I've also brought up cornerback. Derek, you've brought up linebacker as well. Could be a need for them.
Yeah, and then the Eagles stomped on my dream.
All right, here we go. Here's the selection.
Selection of pick one, number pick number 160, we have...
Linebacker. Oh, boy.
Idufin Olofosio.
I am going to be looking to Sam Olofosio for some pronunciation on that. Because
Ed Olofosio. That is the name here. Linebacker out of Washington. 2023 first team pack, all Pac-12. And again, linebacker.
Pac-12.
There we go.
Yeah. I mean, so it makes sense. Again.
Depth piece.
Yep, and as well, I do kind of
We're not calling AJ Klein off the couch.
No, but I do want to bring this point up too, and I'm not saying he's the Matt Milano replacement, but
no.
Milano did pick up a pretty serious injury this year. He's going to be back on the field, I think, around training camp.
He was projecting to be back in the playoffs.
And then he wasn't.
No, he wasn't because the team wasn't.
I know, but I just listened to One Bills Live. They're like, yeah, he's not going to be on the field until like training camp.
Yeah.
So there's that. He is turning 30. This is going to be his 30-year season, and he's already picked up a number of injuries already throughout his career. So, I mean, that could be something where they're thinking long-term.
It kind of throws you that, like, how good this team has been. The transitionary that has to happen here. Like, Milano is one of the two players still on the Bills roster from the 2017 class.
Mm-hmm.
And that featured the first of it being Tre'Davious White. So...
That's right.
Yeah. But Dawkins and Milano... Those are two of the guys.
But they also have guys like Dorian Williams, who I'm a big fan of. I think a lot of us actually wanted to see more of him in the Chiefs game. And we're kind of frustrated to not see more of him. Instead, them going back to A.J. Klein. And Williams, a lot of times, showed a lot of pop at the linebacker
He showed
position.
A lot of pop, but he also showed a little bit of over-aggression in his pursuits.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we'll see what happens here in year two. He's got a lot of tape that he was able to look at now. You come back, you're wiser as well, so you know how to use that speed and that aggression to your advantage. So, yeah, this is going to be an interesting year for him.
By the way, PFF Buffalo Ulufashio, is that what we're going with?
Ulufashio.
Zero touchdowns allowed in 2023 on 326 coverage snaps.
This is another speedy linebacker who is responsible when it comes to pass coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what that sounds a lot like to me? 2017 fifth round pick, Matt Milano.
Mm-hmm. Little undersized, great coverage linebacker.
Sweet. Like, obviously, I'm not pulling a comp out that that this guy is Matt Milano 2.0, but, you know.
Also,
6-1,
a reminder for everyone, we are also expecting the Bills to pick here in relatively quick succession.
ESPN, by the way, had him as overall the 116th player on the board. So take that for what you will.
Yeah, if they're even remotely close to ESPN's valuation, that's a great value pickup.
Might make sense as to how quickly that card came up, too.
Yeah.
Because the Chiefs pick was in, and then we immediately saw the next one.
Washington takes
safety back-to-back.
Dominique Hampton, out of Washington. We will have then Arizona pick here at 162, and then the Bills are back up at 163.
A lot of guys going with some conviction in the last three picks. Kansas City was quick, Buffalo's was quick, Commanders were quick. Two straight Washington players, by the way. Obviously, you go to a national championship. Was it national championship or the playing game?
No, they lost to Michigan in the national final.
Yep, I just wanted to make sure I didn't get it mixed up.
Well,
there.
You know, it's been them and really Oregon dominated the early parts of today as well. Yep. Very good defensive team, surprisingly for a Pac-12 team, especially Oregon.
RIP to the Pac-12. Your legacy is you're getting a bunch of players drafted.
Disgusting.
Let's go.
As a college fan, college football, basketball, college sports fan. Watching that league just go away in a whimper was so sad. It was so sad. I was so excited that Washington was going to win the national title in the final year of the Pac-12. Let's ride out in the sunset, and then just Penix had a bad game.
Yeah,
really, they all did.
He did.
Really, everyone on Washington did not have a good game. So yeah, we're going to have Washington picked here. We got Arizona on the clock now. Not as much conviction as Derek was bringing up, where we had about four picks, bang, 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 bang.
Like, this is the speed that you're used to with day three.
Arizona, though, might be trying to trade out here. I will say this, though. The Bills, they have this pick, will round out round six, then they pick at the start of round seven, or excuse me, they'll pick
back of round six and then the start of round seven.
They'll pick at the end of round six here. And then they pick at the top of round seven, and that's it.
Oh, boy. Here's the thing about the fifth and sixth round, though.
Hmm.
It is not 32 picks. It's not 40 picks. It's 41 picks at the fifth round.
God, I love those comp picks, man.
Comp picks start getting littered around here, and then there's 44 picks of the sixth round. So
that's just simply too many.
Yeah.
That's simply too many.
No, that's
but luckily, zero seventh round picks after
the first one.
After the first one, yeah.
So,
and then, but oddly enough, even the seventh round, there's only 37 picks. So, it's the fifth and sixth round where you really get littered with the compensatory formula, and everything else of the sort there. So
Tyler Dunn, real quick on the linebacker the Bills just drafted, Ulufashio. He said Bob McGinn, who also works at Go Long TD, scouts him. Quote: Kid's always in the building. Has aspirations of going to medical school. When you interviewed other Washington players and asked them who's the most disciplined or the hardest worker, they say this kid, he can flat out run. He's a great young man. His instincts are a little bit off, but he'll die trying. Which, if you're going to get him in the fifth round.
Like it.
If his instincts are a little off. Okay.
You can try to help teach that sort of thing. Especially like we were talking about
Dorian Williams. And everything sounds like he's coachable.
We were talking about Dorian Williams and how aggressive he was sometimes in his limited action. Like, you're going to be able to see film on this sort of thing and go, hey, here we go. But the drive and the work ethic is something that is it's a little harder to, kind of whip into shape.
Yeah.
And like you said, he's going to die trying. You know what that is? That is a Sean McDermott
stamp
of
approval. That's a process guy right there, baby.
That's a stamp of approval, baby.
And it is.
And
it's
not even a snarky way to say it. Like, that is legitimately football coaches love that kind
of
guy.
But Sal brought it up when we were speaking with him earlier, too, of what's been the theme of this draft? I think this pick absolutely continues it. It's leadership. It's hardworking. It's guys that are in the locker room that don't have to babysit each other. everyone's in there and they're all hard workers. They're all leaders. They're all guys that lead by example. And Sal's right. Like, I mean, a lot of this offseason has been getting rid of former leaders and veterans on this team due to age and salary
constraints. And
now here
the thing is now you're talking about guys that might not make this roster. So it is a darn shame to be talking about it like this, but also bringing it up that, you know, we're not talking about guys that are going to be slam dunks anymore. However, when you're trying to add depth pieces or special teams contributions, like those things matter. You stick on the rosters for that reason. Like DeMar Hamlin, after what happened to him, to be on an opening day roster was because of his special teams play. He was very good at it. He knows what he's doing. And that allows teams to hold on to you. It's not something that should just be scoffed at or like shoo-shoo. Like, this is something that they should be able to do. Texas.
Right. The Bills are up as Christian Jones, the offensive tackle out of Texas, goes to Arizona, part of a very good offensive line at the University of Texas, projected to be just as good, if not better, this year. And now the Buffalo Bills are back on the clock as they round out their fifth round here. It looks like they are going to make this selection. However, not as, again, Derek, as you brought up, not as much conviction with this pick.
No.
They are just on the clock rather than the pick is in. However, one more thing on the linebacker out of Washington. Sal tweeted this out. Another older player, he just turned 24. He's a former walk-on and then became a full-time starter for Washington.
That's a football coach guy.
Yep.
You grind it out.
And those are the guys you want to get in these later rounds.
Yeah.
They are. Typically, they're not the athletes you want.
They're not the most talented athletes, so you want the guys that'll have the drive, the knowledge to make up for it. You want guys that are cerebral. You want guys that they have the instincts to them, and you also want guys that are coachable.
Yep.
Because then you can use technique to overcome any of the disadvantages. But hearing that the coverage snaps thing about him, though, that's huge.
Yeah.
Especially when, hey, guess what you deal with Kansas City, that tight end guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. If one of my depth linebackers can cover well,
that'd be nice.
Yo, that's cool. Sign me up.
Now, in all seriousness, though, when you look at the Bills, they have done a lot of trench work in this draft. I mean, they've gotten center help. They've gotten defensive tackle help. Then they've gotten a little bit of depth pieces here at linebacker and such. You know, do you go here and just kind of like throw just anything at the wall at a wide receiver just to kind of have another guy on the roster?
Hey, maybe. And their pick is in.
The pick
so
is
we'll
in.
See this in just a few moments here.
Is it a guy like maybe a Brendan Rice?
I don't know. I'm giving up on the late wide receivers thing.
Like, I kind of am
whatever.
Too. Whatever. I kind of am too.
It's a big old whatever burger for me at this point. And again, I think part of it's the irritation of what the wide receiver training
just give me,
became.
Just give me the storyline of Brendan Rice.
Traded the pick. They did it again. What a combination.
They traded the pick to the Green Bay Packers.
They
soon find out what's going on there.
They had two sets of picks within three of each other. They selected with the first one, and they traded the second one. That is bafflingly consistent.
That's fun.
That is very fun. If they manage to get another fourth-round pick next year, like, oh my God.
I think this might, at this point, there'll be maybe a fifth-round selection next year.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
But still, if you manage to get another one.
I'm happy with it.
First of all, that tells you exactly what they think about the rest of this class.
Yeah, and they don't like it. They don't like it.
Yeah. And man, here I was writing off the wide receiver thing, and I'm like, yeah, whatever at this point. Who cares?
I think the thing, too, they don't like this wide receiver class that much.
No.
And also, say this. And you know what? I want to say this, though, real quick on the Keon Coleman pick, too, because I think a lot of the hate that's coming towards
that. He was a first-round projected player.
Not that. It was the last guy that they had on their board that Josh Allen liked.
Beautiful.
And I think that was coming from Jordan Schultz. I saw it on opening night that was the thing is Allen liked Coleman. So if I see anyone tweet or call in saying like, how much longer until Josh Allen gets sick of this? Well, probably not much longer. He liked Coleman and they drafted him. And he liked Dalton Kincaid last year and they drafted him.
But also, furthermore, they would have made that selection at 32, but then they were hearing Carolina on the phone. And they were like, okay, well, we like our guy.
Yeah.
We're going to take him.
I want to know what they got for this pick, though.
It'll be fascinating. We'll see what happens here. But the Bills
hopefully another
are...
2025 pick.
Yeah, no, that'd be nice.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm...
So that'll be 14 picks.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. And again, like the way I look at that is you're probably not going to make all 14 picks. You're going to use that as like trade assets and stuff like that in season. Or even right after the draft, once teams' boards have all finalized and they're all kind of seeing what they're going to be doing next year, then you can start making moves as well.
Oh, they got 168 and 219, so still in this draft.
Okay.
All right.
That's from Bills PR. So
okay. All right. Sweet. So they're still picking within this draft.
So they moved down a little bit in round five. They got an extra sixth round pick, and their last selection still would be pick number
just,
one in
just
the seventh
keep
round.
Them out of the seventh, baby.
Yeah,
just keep them out of the seventh.
Just keep your seventh being the first one of that round.
Yeah, trade that one too.
The Packers, by the way, they moved up to take center Jacob Monk out of Duke.
All right. Okay.
All right.
The actual center for Duke. I know there was a guy taken earlier, Graham Barton, I think it was. He gets taken, and now he's like projected to move to center. Here's the actual Duke center that goes.
Yeah, the Bills dropped five picks. Dropped down five picks. They got an extra sixth for it.
And now they have 2 6th-round picks.
Yeah. If they would have traded out entirely, that would have said, okay, they really don't believe in a lot of the players left here. But, yeah, no, I'm done talking about wide receiver at this point for this draft. It is what it is at this point, and now it's just a bunch of depth pieces. Yeah.
Another thing to consider at wide receiver, there's a lot of really surprising names still available wide receiver-wise, free agency, and they get that $10 million from the Trey contract back. I wonder if they're just sort of waiting until June 1st to make a move there, kind of like they did last year with Leonard Floyd.
Actually would imagine like they're let's recoup some assets. We'll have a lot to trade next year. Once this draft is done, everyone starts looking towards 2025.
But the core point of the wide receiver train was to use a premium asset to get a guy at wide receiver for this team. They did that. They literally did it. They did it.
They just didn't do it multiple times.
Mission success.
And to be fair, I wanted them to double dip at wide receiver too. But
the board didn't fall that way.
The Bills and many teams in this draft are telling you they actually don't like this draft class as much, a wide receiver class as much.
Yeah. What they really liked? The offensive line.
The offensive line.
And the Bills got a piece of that meat too.
Yeah.
So
it is what it is. But I do imagine they're going to make another move because they are, and I agree with Nate on this, it's still not a very good unit. I think they do still need another guy that
they're
can
not
go on the
done.
Outside.
There's plenty of post-draft movement when it comes to either veterans. Because remember, I will never forget, Keyshawn Johnson was talking about Kerry Colbert years ago. Like, he was on ESPN but still a member of the Carolina Panthers. Mm-hmm. Carolina takes Colbert, and Keyshawn is just glowing about him, saying, I can't wait to mentor this guy. And then he gets cut.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, like, I will never forget that.
Yep.
So that is one of the biggest stories of teams are not done shuffling deck chairs around when the draft is over.
Yeah, absolutely.
Undrafted free agents are a chase. And then, furthermore, veterans get moved after the draft based on the decisions that were made. Because you're trying to even field calls about, like, hey, you want to toss me a pick for this guy?
Mm-hmm.
And there hasn't been a lot of that movement either.
No, I mean, really nothing.
Which means maybe they start looking at next year's draft picks to shuffle a guy out. And guess what the Bills have a bunch of? That.
Mm-hmm. Got to take a quick time out here. Want to remind you that coverage of the NFL draft here on WGR is presented by Fiegel Carr and Joyce, your border attorneys, and brought to you in part by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Brody Construction. Join us in Building Buffalo and by Upstate Honda Dealers. For great deals, visit your local Honda dealer today. We've got Bruce Nolan coming up here in just a few minutes. We also, of course, have the next Bills fifth round selection, or hopefully a selection, coming up here at pick 168. We are currently at 164. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, TJ Luckman hanging out with you here as we continue our coverage of the 2024 NFL Draft right here on WGR.
Welcome back. Day three coverage here of the NFL Draft on WGR. Derek Kramer here with you. TJ Luckman, the good old DJ TJ. He didn't hit the bump. It's okay. But we have ourselves a nice little surprise for you guys. Formerly of Buffalo Rumblings, but a friend of the show, friend of a lot of what we've been doing here between like Nate, me, Zach. A lot of us love talking to Bruce Nolan, and this is my exclusive for all of you that we get to have Bruce on here for some draft coverage right now on the Wester Hotline. Bruce, it's Derek. First of all, a lovely weekend we've been having. Second of all, it's good to hear from you.
it's good to be heard from. You know, you always wonder when you have your pod dismissed from existence. You're like, well, goodness gracious, are my friends going to abandon me? But 'tis not the case. Happy to be here with you.
The Bruce signal stays up always here for me. So believe me, I'm not smashing it like Gordon did at the end of The Dark Knight. It's going to stay strong here for you, Bruce.
Well played. An excellent reference.
Thank you. I had to be somewhat. I can be clever, Bruce. So, speaking of clever, the way the Bills have honestly been drafting throughout this process here. I know you weren't the biggest Keon Coleman fan when it came to the receiver group, Bruce. But obviously, we'll start there. The Bills taking Coleman there at 33. And I'm seeing from everything scouting report-wise that this is a guy who attacks the football with his hands. So he's an active catcher. That would mean, like, if this is Gabe Davis 2.0, that means he's a better pass catcher in the terms of, like, he attacks the football, though.
Yeah, he's a much more natural catcher of the football than Gabe Davis was. I think that's one of the reasons why you end up having this guy, even though you have concerns about separation, you have him going day two. A lot of people had him as a late day one guy. I think that one of the big confidences with Keon Coleman is that you're going to get excellent catching technique, low drop rate, and you're going to get that yak ability. And when you think about Joe Brady taking over and molding this offense into his own image, I think that the ability to get run after catch, get those easy yards, I think matters. Now, the question with Coleman is they're going to start him at X receiver. But if you look at the metrics against press in college, they weren't overly successful, and specifically man coverage. And so a lot of those players who had that archetype in college, they weren't really successful in the NFL unless the team did something different with them, unless they moved him into the slot, turned him into a power slot. This concept of a power slot is relatively new in the NFL, all things considered. It used to be that when you looked at slot receivers, they were all 5'9", 180 pounds. They were traditionally Cole Beasley. And then teams got this idea that if I have a guy who has great ball skills, who has the ability to get me yards after catch, maybe I move him into the slot, take away his ability to be pressed at the line of scrimmage, and say, hey, we're going to get you two-way goes, make it a little bit easier on you, make it a little bit more difficult on cornerbacks, and we can still take advantage of your strengths. The Buffalo Bills said flat out, we're going to play him at X. So that's what I'm going to be keeping my eye on. It's not, are there going to be skills that are suddenly going to manifest themselves for Keon Coleman? It's the things that he does well, are they going to be maximized by the way that the Bills utilize him, or will they be minimized by the way that the Bills utilized him?
Bruce, of course, obviously we've got plenty of picks to talk about here, but we're about to be dropping in on 168, so we'll get this pick. We'll get some live Bruce reaction for pick 168. By the way, unless they trade it again, because of course they could. However, Cole Bishop, safety out of Utah, almost everything I've seen from pundits was this was a slam dunk of a pick for the secondary.
I'm a big Cole Bishop fan as well. I predicted that Cole Bishop would be a Buffalo Bill a couple times, and then I backed off of it the last minute with my predictive mock draft, and I feel terrible that I did it. I was like, no, I felt bad about it. But Bishop's one of those guys who's smart, who's aggressive, who I think is better playing forward, but I think that the Bills system is perfect for him because the Bills don't play a lot of one-high coverages. This is not a cover three, cover one heavy team. This is a cover two, cover four heavy team. And so when you are able to kind of minimize the ability to just have him playing deep center field, asking his hips to potentially flip both ways, I think that you're maximizing the thing he does well, which is play forward, be instinctual, be interchangeable, be able to roll down in the box from either direction on either hash. I think that maximizes the things that Cole Bishop does well, and it minimizes the things that he doesn't do well. I think he's a great fit in this defense. I think that he's going to come in and immediately challenge Taylor Rapp for snaps at that safety position. And I think that at bare minimum, week one, walking in, even if he hasn't stolen that job yet, he's going to be an absolute terror on special teams. But I think it's just a matter of time before he's starting at safety for the Buffalo Bills.
Bruce Nolan on the Western Hotline here, formerly of the Bruce Exclusive, and I'm hopefully excited to see what you've got next cooking in the pocket here, Bruce, when it comes to your Bills knowledge, because selfishly, I want more of that from you. I want more of it. Give it to me. But the rest of this draft, it has been looking like some nice depth additions, I think, for this team. Defensive tackle Dwayne Carter really looking like a great leader and probably an instant rotational piece for this team. Ray Davis looks like that kind of like thunderous player along with the speed of Cook and Ty Johnson. And then Cedric Van Pran-Granger, the center out of Georgia. Of those three picks, which one was your favorite depth addition here?
I was a noted and unabashed Dwayne Carter fan. And so for me, when you look at Dwayne Carter and you look at the productivity and you look at the football character, I've gone on record as saying that if Dwayne Carter was in your mock draft, I probably liked the mock draft. And so I've been a fan since the beginning. I think that you have nonstop cardio. You have nonstop energy. I think that his bull rush is pro ready right now. And occasionally you'll see a nice, like, spin move off of it, which is unusual, but it's there. And so I think right now you can walk right into a rotational three tech role. I don't think you're going to ask him to be directly head up in a zero tech over the center. I don't think you're going to ask him to play shade. I think he's going to be a rotational three tech. And that was a spot that was occupied by Jordan Phillips previously. And so I think that behind Ed Oliver, there was some need there. So I like that fit as a player. I think he's a good fit in this particular system. You don't have to ask him to anchor down frequently against double teams. You're not asking him to control two gaps. You're not asking him to pop and then look and react. I think you're asking him to do the thing that he does, which is pop off the ball, come right down your throat over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, 100 times a game.
Bruce, we do have some breaking news here, and it's not anything crazy. It is just the Bills' next selection, and it is Troy's defensive end, Javon Solomon, going to the Bills. Do you know really anything about this player? This is the first time I'm ever hearing his name.
You caught me at one of the guys that I don't have notes on.
There we go, yes.
I have to circle back. Well, inevitably, I knew it was going to happen. When I got ready for the radio spot, I said, you know what's going to happen? They're going to pick a guy at 168 that I don't have notes on, and I'm going to be like, cool, I have nothing to offer here. So in the interest of not being intellectually dishonest, I am not going to pretend that I have a set of notes on him, and I'll have to go back and circle back with you guys later.
Hey, you know what, though? We'll be looking forward to that, especially because people still look at your tweets here at Bruce Exclusive on Twitter. If you're not following him by now, you're doing Twitter wrong, and you've been doing it wrong for a long time. Bruce, of course, though, the rest of this draft, I do really like the addition of a center here as well with Van Pran-Granger. And, of course, the last one that we have here was Ed Ulufoshio, the linebacker out of Washington. Do we have any other thoughts here with the fifth-round selections that the Buffalo Bills ended up with here?
Yeah, Ulufoshio is a player that I watched, and I think that that's – you watch him immediately and you think, well, he's a special teamer first and foremost. And so that's going to impact your ability to view this pick through a specific lens. If you view him as someone who has starting potential in three linebacker sets down the line, you're going to probably view this a little bit higher than I do. I think that there's a lack of athleticism there. I think there's a lack of specifically agility there from the linebacker, but he tackles, he hits, he comes downhill. And I think that you right away, you think, I wonder if the new kickoff rules are changing the way teams are drafting. Because before, this idea that you were devoting meaningful resources into special teams specifically for kickoff coverage was a little bit silly considering how few kickoffs actually got returned. I wonder this year if that's going to be different. Like, I wonder if you're going to have one team who's able to kind of hack the system and come up with a specific strategy that will allow them to steal a game or two because they were able to get big plays on special teams while the rest of the teams were sitting around twiddling their thumbs trying to figure out these new kickoff rules. But for me, this was not the time in the draft to be taking special teams first and foremost players, which is what I think Ulufoshio is. But I think that when the Bills traded out of the draft entirely with that first, that I think it was a second pick in that
pick nine of the fifth round, yeah.
Rounds, maybe. Once they did that and they said, okay, we'll take Chicago's fourth rounder in 2025, that was probably a signal, a red flag, that they're like, hey, the rest of the part here, we're just filling in roster depth. We're just adding bodies. So like, we're not trying to find meaningful scrimmage contributors at this point.
And you know what, though? Like, that's something like you said, when they traded out, it was kind of a sign of the message that they're probably sending of, yeah, maybe we don't like, or we're not really hot on the rest of the players of this draft class. And the lack of upper, I mean, the lack of lower classmen, I should say, of this draft probably does impact that a little bit. Bruce, I've got one last question here before we go, and I'll let you get back to your weekend here, and that's this. Around the league, is there a team that you really like what they've done, and who's got the Bruce Nolan stamp of approval?
I'm really mad about the Patriots.
Same.
I'm super mad.
I'm glad we're all there.
With Trick Bay. I wasn't thrilled about it. I, of course, when the Patriots drafted Mac Jones, I really didn't feel anything because I didn't think highly of Mac Jones as a prospect. I do think with the appropriate development that Drake May can be a good quarterback in the NFL. And now that the Patriots have a different regime in there, you can't just throw your hands up and go, well, we know they won't develop their offensive players. Just because they haven't doesn't mean they won't, because it's a new regime now with the Patriots. So, and when you think that they took their quarterback and then three of their next picks were offensive linemen and wide receivers, you're like, oh, well, maybe they are going to actually develop their quarterback. Maybe they are actually going to surround him with pieces that can help him be successful. And so it's showing, the Patriots specifically are showing a mindset, and they're going directly at, hey, we got this quarterback. Now we're going to do what we need to do to support him. And as a rival, obviously you hate to see it.
Yep. To quote it with just meme potential on this one, thanks, I hate it. But, you know, you got to tip the cap, unfortunately, every now and then. Bruce, I appreciate you coming on here. You may not have the platform at the moment either right now, but that does not mean you do not have wisdom to part our way, and you did plenty of that with us here today.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Of course, and I'm excited to see what could be coming up the pipeline here for you, Bruce.
I'll keep you informed.
Oh, absolutely. We will love to hear it. That's Bruce Nolan. If you're not following him on Twitter, at Bruce Exclusive is the Twitter handle. You know you're looking for his stuff. You're always looking for his stuff. And if you're not, you're doing it wrong.
Real quick, do you want to talk a little bit about Javon Solomon here? He is very different from really any other edge rusher the Bills have taken under Bean McDermott. He's a bit undersized at about 6'1", 240, but he also led college football with 16 sacks, or at least FBS college football, with 16 sacks last year.
Hey, you know what? So if you can get something out of them?
If they're getting look, you're here to be a pass rushing specialist. Mm-hmm. You're going to go on third downs, and that's about it.
Hey, there we go.
That works. And again, another Senior Bowl player as well. We're going to take a quick time out here. We've got a little while here until the Bills pick again. However, we have heard already from a number of Bills players. They've spoken with the media, and we're going to catch up on some of those, including, of course, newest Bills running back Ray Davis after this quick timeout. You're listening to WGR's continued coverage of the 2024 NFL Draft. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here with you for another few hours. You're listening to WGR.
Welcome back. Day 3 NFL coverage continues on here. By the way, thanks to Bruce Nolan for dropping in. As he was mentioning, like, will people like stop contacting him about, you know, guest hits or anything like that when the Buffalo Rumblings podcast dropped? Which, thanks, by the way, Vox Media. You guys continue to really thrive on your decisions. But it was good to hear from Bruce, and if you didn't hear that, you'll be able to hear that on our website at WGR550.com. But right now, we got a lot of player audio to catch up on, and that's going to start with Buffalo's fourth-round selection, Kentucky running back Ray Davis.
Older player in college football and some of the experiences you have walking into an NFL locker room.
Yeah, you know, I think not necessarily the age matter. I think it's just about, you know, the maturity of how you walk into a room. You know, again, you got to be able to separate yourself from, you know, having the young-minded to being an older guy. And I know being a professional walking into that building, knowing that I'm the young guy, you know, I got to learn everything. I got to learn from them, and I got to not be afraid to ask questions, and that's something I'm looking forward to.
Thanks, Ray.
Thank you.
Yeah, hey, Ray. Alex Brasky, Batavia Daily News. Welcome to Buffalo.
Thank you.
Can you take us through the Florida game from last year? I think you went 280 yards, 3 touchdowns. Just what went into that performance?
Yeah, you know, throughout the week, I knew how big the rivalry was between Kentucky and Florida. That's something.
childhood. Can you take us through that and how you were able to make it through that and how that made you perhaps more resilient as you got through that?
Sure. You know, I grew up in the foster care system in San Francisco for 8 years, and I had to become a man at 12. So I think just having to adapt to my situation and my environment and understand that I have to raise myself, and not only my decisions affected me, but it affected others. So I just knew right then and there, man, it was about just staying focused, trying to continue to just survive. And that was the biggest thing I lived by, was just surviving and surviving. And I think that's what made me the man I am today, just based off of the things I went through. And I knew the things I was going to face and trials and tribulations. So, you know, I always try to attack my issues. I never try to run away.
All right. Congratulations. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, Ray, this is Catherine from the Buffalo News. Congratulations. I just wanted to ask, I know they've used you as a pass catcher.
Sorry, I think
it broke up for a second. I know they've used you as a receiver, too. Can you tell us just some about having, like, a versatile skill set, what it was like being used in multiple facets of the game?
Yeah, I think that was something I really wanted to prove to scouts, prove to the NFL that I am a guy who's very versatile, that you know, I'm a three down back who can protect, who can run, but also be a very valuable asset in the pass game. And my goal is always to have that defensive coordinator not know how to prepare for me. Again, whether that's trying to put a linebacker on me, put a free safety on me, just understanding that when he's in the game, he's a three down threat. He can run, he can catch. So what can we do, or what defense can we throw at him to try to get him off his game? And that's always a good thing that's always a bad problem to have as a DC, but always a good problem to have as an OC.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you.
Ray Davis, Mookie Hawkins, Buffalo Sports Cincinnati. How you doing?
Doing pretty good.
Hey, man, you said it at the combine. You're a low center of gravity back that could do it all. So what do you think is your best attribute that you would bring to this Bills offense?
You know, just my IQ of the game, being able to, again, read the defense pre-snap, post-snap, understanding, you know, fronts, understanding techniques, just sitting there and really studying the game, studying the tape, and then trying to apply that to practice and apply that to the field. But, you know, I think that's something I can bring, but also just being able to be a very open-minded guy who wants to be knowledgeable in every facet of the game and not just playing running back. You know, that was something I always lived by. I always wanted to be the quarterback or the running back. Understand why we make checks, and want to understand why we do certain things, and just to know why, you know, why we call certain plays, and just understanding the facet of the game.
Absolutely, man. And last player the Bills drafted from Kentucky was pretty good. How do you keep that going?
Just coming there and just trying to be Ray Davis each and every day, earn my respect, earn the respect of my peers, my coaches, and just go out there and play my game.
Absolutely, man. Congratulations, and see you soon.
Thank you so much.
Hey, Ray, it's Tyler going to go along. Congrats.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Hey, we talked to one scout. He said that you run hard as bleep and you're an effing load. So how do you describe your running style?
Yeah, you know, I try to mix it up as much as I can. You know, a lot of people classify me as a downhill runner, but I think I'm very good lateral and going downhill and being able to just show that in my game, being able to have lateral quickness, be able to also go downhill, be able to set up safeties, make them miss. So just trying to be an overall good athlete. And I think you see that in James Cook. That's a guy who can do a lot of good things. And I'm excited to be able to learn from him, but also to be able to bring my talent and my assets to with him also.
Hey, John, go ahead if you have a question. Acosta.
Hey, Ray, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hey, welcome to Buffalo. So my question for you is, it says here that you're believed to be the only player in NCAA history with 1,000 rushing yards at three different schools. How does that speak maybe to your ability to adapt to different environments? And in your mind, what was the key to having the success at all of those different stops?
Yeah, you know, being able to adapt to those environments really just came from the guys that I've been with. Every program, it took me with open arms, but they were also able to just kind of really just leave a mark on me. And that's what something I always knew when I had to go to another program was I wanted to have an open mind. I wanted to have an open heart. I wanted to understand that if I'm going to fit in someone's culture, I have to be willing to, you know, let them in and understand the type of person I am and type of player. And, you know, I think that's what just – I was able to play free. Coaches were able to trust me. My teammates were able to trust me because I was able to just be myself and play ball.
How do you think those experiences can maybe translate now to you coming to Buffalo?
Yeah, you know, I think it just shows, again, you know, being able to be versatile, picking up a playbook, being able to go out there and run a lot of different schemes, a lot of different offenses, but at the same time, just being able to – a guy who wants to be able to learn and figure out ways to get better, not only just doing it my way, but also learning how to do things other ways and adapting to just adversity. Again, when you have to learn a new playbook, you got to start from, you know, page one to the last page, and just being able to have to really lock in and trust the people around me to help me get to where I need to go.
Again, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
That was a Buffalo Bills fourth round pick, running back Ray Davis out of Kentucky, with the media from earlier today. We are going to take a quick time out here. We've got a little bit to go here before the Bills pick in round six. And yeah, I mean, they're going to be picking, where are we at? I mean, 204, and we're right now at selection 174, still in the fifth round. We have a bunch of other players, actually, we've got to hear from. We're going to kind of catch up here, take a quick timeout. We've also got Bill's newest center, or at least pick, in the fifth round, Cedric Van Pran Granger out of Georgia. We'll hear his meeting with the media after a quick timeout. You're listening to WGR's continued coverage of the 2024 NFL Draft, and that is presented by Fico Car and Joyce, your border attorneys, and brought to you in part by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Brody Construction. Join us in building Buffalo. And by Upstate Honda Dealers for great deals. Visit your local Honda dealer today. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, TJ Luckman hanging out with you here for just a few more hours. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.